Gearhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome back. This is Gearhead Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And thank you for coming in and supporting our business. It's May 2025, just an absolute blast. And 2026 is just on a rocket ship. I'm super excited about 2026 and the stuff we got coming. Nothing like being able to be successful enough to give back to the community. So we have lots of great things we have in the works. My mind is just spinning all the time, planning, trying to get new things going. And I'll always keep you apprised right here on AM 1230. So make sure you tune in every Saturday at 9 a.m. to find out the latest and greatest what's going on with the shop. But more importantly, if you have any questions, phone lines are open. Text lines are also open, 805-238-5775. If you have something you want to call in and talk about, text about, you have a question about your vehicle maintenance, I can do my best to help. I'm not going to guarantee anything, but I'll do my best. So missed you last Saturday. We had a fun trip out to our nation's capital. Not necessarily something that's always on the bucket list. I think if you if you had an opportunity to travel and you were to pick, you know, somewhere on the map. I mean, for one, DC is so small, I think you'll just miss it. But for two, it's like, you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, absolutely, I'd go there. It's the nation's capital. Of course, but it's like, there's also Bermuda or Fiji or Thailand, you know, so. As far as the vacations, I don't know if it's super high, but with an opportunity that comes up, it's nice too. So the point of me going out there was to go check out a friend of mine. He's got 7 shops in the DMV area. Another thing we learned upon our travels. And the DMV is DC, Maryland, Virginia. If you've been to the East Coast, then you got that slang, but if not, it's an interesting way they put it. So being the DC is so small and it's so close, the trip between Virginia and Maryland, when you're on the northern side of Virginia, you can circle around all those states within a day, right? So they call it the DMV area. So he's got 7 shops in the DMV area. So I was had the opportunity to go up there and do a shop tour and you know, see behind the scenes of his operation and say hi. I mean, he's 6 hours away on a plane, so you don't get to see him all the time. So it was good to go check that out and see how it works on the other side of the country. So I'm always up game for learning something new. I really appreciated him opening his doors and letting us all out there and check it out. So with that said, lots of new things that I've picked up. And then after that, we decided to take Mallory out to the Smithsonian Zoo. And Leanne and myself both we like museums. She's big on the Smithsonian, the History Museum, and then the Space Museum is right across the way. So that's Air and Space. That's right up for me. So it was a little bit of everything for everybody. It was really cool. Other than being 19 degrees with 15 mile an hour wind. So yeah, us Californians aren't built for that kind of weather. I think it was a high of 19. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a high of 19 and the wind chill was like pushing it down into the tens. Like, what are we doing over here? Luckily it wasn't snowing and we had plenty of our snow gear on, but it's still, you know, exposed flesh was not happy, but we just had a quick walk to get in the museums and of course they were nice and warm. So it worked out. It was really nice. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning, Jimmy. I think we're expecting a call to ask about tire inflating tools. But in my concept, if you're losing air in a tire, you need to change it, not reinflate it and continue on.
That's fair. Yeah, depends on how much. But it's like it's similar to coolant leaks or anything else, right? If the fluid is low or air is low, typically it means we need to investigate a little bit before and figure out where it's going, because it shouldn't really be going anywhere other than fuel. Fuel's the only thing I can't fix. That's just that's probably the only fluid in the vehicle that slowly disappears and we understand where it's going.
Right.
But everything else, and windshield wiper fluid, I guess, if you really want to get technical. But everything else, as it gets low, we should probably be investigating where it's going. I mean, it's 1 PSI per 10 degrees, so yeah, you're going to lose a little bit. And then also, you do slowly lose a little bit out of the valve stem. But sometimes, you know, right. We've all had those tires that sit around for, you know, years and years and years, and they just hold air no matter what.
Right.
So, and then some will go a little bit quicker, but yeah, it's natural to lose a little bit, especially if you're missing the cap. Those caps actually do help keep air in the tire as well. So if you're missing the little plastic cap, it'll lose a little bit through that Schrader valve over time.
Yeah. I just think that it's potential misguiding to tell people just reinflate it and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You need to know how to change it.
That's very important too. Yeah. The level of competency when we give certain direction, we all kind of assume we're on a level playing field, right? And sometimes we're not. Like, I would assume, yeah, if you know how to change a tire, yeah, if the tire is low, just top it off. If it gets low again, then worst case scenario, you got to change your tire. If I'm saying that to someone that's illiterate enough and they don't know how to change a tire, then that's bad advice, right? So, yeah, it's very difficult.
Right. If you're on the side of the road and it's totally empty, you need to pull it off there and put, I don't know, reinflating it. It's dangerous to go too far on a tire that's
absolutely
that bad. So,
well, as they say, anyway, it's only flat on the bottom, so you just got to take it off and rotate it. I'm glad you got that.
Yeah, I do. All right, that's a Three Stooges thing, I think. That goes back.
That's a good one.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Hey, thanks for the call. Bye.
Bye.
It's only flat on the bottom. You just got to rotate your tires, and then it's not flat anymore. It's a flat spot. Nah, you'll get it later. Well, speaking of cold weather, we don't have to worry about that over here, but let's get you some weather for the day to get this show on the road. Today, high of 61, low of 35. Tomorrow, about the same. Actually, it's like that all next week. Partly cloudy, mostly sunny, in the mid-60s with lows around the mid to high 30s, and just getting up into 40 by Wednesday, and dropping back down into next weekend. So we got a pretty consistent forecast going on. Nothing out of the ordinary. A little cold in the morning, a little cold in the evening, and decent during the day. No rain in the forecast. That I see. Not bad for the end of January. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, good morning. Question regarding windshield wipers.
Yeah, what do we got?
So, have a truck. It's a 2016 Ram. The windshield wiper fluid is full, and the motor, you can hear the motor engage when you push the button for the windshield wiper stuff to spray, mm-hmm. but it doesn't spray.
Fairly simple. What year is it?
16.
16, okay. So the plastic's going to be a little brittle. There's a possibility. Might be, you have to be extra careful with that. So where I'd like to start is pulling the rubber lines off the actual squirters that are on the hood or on the cowl, and then using some mm-hmm. compressed air to blow backwards and blow the squirters out. If those are clear, then we got to disconnect the hose going down to the pump and blow that line out. And we want to blow it not back into the tank, so we want to make sure we disconnect it from the tank, because if you blow it back into the reservoir, then it's just, whatever's in there is going to get clogged up again. So we want to make sure we're disconnecting the lines and kind of taking it one step at a time. I always start up top because typically like leaves or whatever, something gets in there and gets kind of hard and crusty. And there's just not enough mm-hmm. pressure for the pump. I mean, it's like 2 or 3 PSI. So it's just not enough to blow it out. So sometimes just a little bit of compressed air. And if you don't have a compressed air, you can actually get in there and blow on it with your mouth. Put a, you know, the hose on it. I don't recommend that, but it does work.
Okay.
A little compressed air just blows back and blow it back, you know, just get the hose, blow it out, and that'll typically fix it.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Just be careful with those little plastic fittings because they like to break, and those are difficult to source. It's those little tiny parts that always So you got to, the trick is you grab it and you give it a little twist, and then that breaks the seal and you can pull it off. You don't want to just yank on it. Take the hose, give it a slight little twist, maybe a pair of pliers nice and gingerly. Don't squeeze real hard because you'll break it. But just the trick with those hoses when they're stuck on a barbed fitting is a twist. That's an insider trick there. And if you get into it, dude, just bring it down and we'll take care of it for you. But we take care of that stuff all the time. That's gives the guy something easy to do and they like that. Gearhead Radio, this is Jimmy.
Yes, hi Jimmy. Pam and Tasso here. I heard the guy calling in about the air tire inflators.
Yes.
What I was asking Diane about to do some checking with some people out there is if you've heard the product called Air Moto.
I have not.
Oh, okay. It's a device. It's about the size of I almost want to say like a handheld radio kind of thing. It's about that size. It'll fit in your glove box, actually.
And oh, a little handheld compressor. Nice. Well, I'm right up on a break here, but I will definitely get into that right after the break. Thanks for the call. And we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Eagle Energy Country Store. Stop in and say hi. We're always glad to see you.
Have you ever made the Eagle Energy Country Store your first stop after leaving home or work?
For those of you who have, we at the Country Store appreciate and thank you for your business.
If not, come by the Eagle Energy 76 on the corner of Highway 46 East and Golden Hill Road.
And let us make you feel welcome.
Maybe you don't need fuel for your vehicle,
but you need something to fuel you.
We've got happy hours. That's right, happy hours. From 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, purchase anything in the store and the coffee creation in the size you crave is free.
You heard us, free, no catches. Come back in the afternoons too, from 4 to 6 p.m. when you buy anything in the store, the fountain drink of your choice is free with your purchase. This includes our 100% freshly brewed iced teas, and now we have three new flavors to choose from.
Looking for something different than fast food or a long sit-down lunch? The Country Store Deli's Chili Verde Enchiladas are back.
See you at the Country Store.
We'll see you at the Country Store.
Burlogger Excavation has been serving the Central Coast for over 28 years, and they specialize in bulldozer work for ranch and rural landowners. Call Burlogger if you need roads graded, fire breaks, or have erosion issues. Whether you need springtime disking, clearing, or general bulldozer work, they have the machines to tackle the job. Call or text 805-674-5141 or find them on the Creston Sawmill Burlogger Excavation Facebook page.
Game chef John Ash calls bison meat utterly delectable. I'm Susanna Luthy Taylor, host of KPRL's Free Talk California. My husband and I raise bison at his family heritage Taylor Ranch. Bison is an intensely healthy red meat, naturally low fat, high in iron and zinc. Bison is known to lower inflammation and reduce risk of some cancers. It's packed with vitamins and minerals that can boost your brain function, energy and immunity, and protect your DNA. This is meat you can't afford not to eat. Pre-order at Taylor Ranch 1868.
Bovino Vineyards in the beautiful hills of Templeton, home to diverse collection of standalone varietals and beautiful blends. Owner Dan Souza, grape grower and dairy farmer, chose the name Bovino, bovine for his dairy herd, and vino for his wines. Winemaker Steve Anglum says, if it's been a while or you haven't had a chance to visit Bovino, now is the time. Bovino Vineyards on El Pomar in Templeton open Friday, Saturday, and Monday. Enjoy the brilliant wines, the cozy tasting room, or out on the deck with breathtaking views.
And welcome back. You are tuning into Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. We're located at 1621 North River Road in Paso. If you don't want to drive by, you're always welcome to check us out online at shiftinggears805.com. Back to the phones. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Yeah, good morning. I was thinking about the antifreeze in the cars nowadays. And in the old days, didn't they have a squeeze bulb and a glass? And then you'd put that down in the antifreeze?
Oh, yeah. To measure the specific gravity. Yep. And they did it for the batteries too. The battery acid. That there was like one with four balls and it would show you the specific gravity of the battery fluid or battery acid too.
Okay, that's what I thought, that there was something like that. So is that still valid with today's engines?
Oh yeah, it's chemistry. It's science is science. We use a refractometer. So you put a little thing in there and you can measure the specific gravity looking through the sight glass on it. It's very, very effective. It takes a little bit of time. The most efficient way is just with the chemical test strips, but it's basically doing exactly what that old style, the old style did with the balls, but it's just a little quicker. And it gives you a little color chart, so it makes it really easy. But it's a pH test strip. So you're just testing the pH balance and then you're testing the glycol percentage. Because the one thing that misses is the glycol percentage, because you're only measuring the acidity of the coolant, but then you're missing the glycol. So you could have the right pH balance, but it could have too much water in it, and then you're missing the properties of the glycol. So there's two parts that need to be tested. Typically they go hand in hand, but I have seen one pass and the other one fail, and both ways. So I've seen the pH be off, but the glycol be good. I've seen the glycol be good and the pH be off. So it's good to measure both sides, but it is a valid test. If you still have one of those, it's still a great way to do it.
So you keep this test strips in stock?
Yep, every single car that comes in, we do a coolant check. We do the coolant test and we do the copper test on the brake fluid. They are expensive. I think they're almost $100 for the little box of what are they? They ended up being like 80¢ a piece that it costs us to buy them, but it's worth it. I mean, and we do a no cost inspection on every vehicle, but it's more important to me that you know what's safe and what's not safe, and 80¢, I'm not gonna, you know, cry over spilled milk in that sense. So we make sure every vehicle right. comes in, we're testing that stuff. Yep.
So you test every vehicle that comes in, huh?
Yes, sir. Everyone that comes in for any sort of repair. The smogs, we haven't rolled out the inspection for the smogs because typically it's kind of a quicker service, but correct. Yeah, any oil service or anything that we're doing, checking it. If we get it up on the lift or we're taking a look at it, we're definitely testing the coolant and the brake fluid.
Okay. You said you just got a new machine in that changes the brake fluid. I mean, the antifreeze?
Yes. Yeah, it's a vacuum style. Evacuates the system and then recharges it on vacuum. It's a really nice brand new machine. It's Mahle. It's one of the top of the line coolant flush machines. So make it a little more efficient and a little more effective. So it doesn't do the full exchange where we're running the vehicle and running a flush agent through it. It just evacuates and recharges it. But we can do either one. It's just the flush itself. If it's not needed, we don't, because the flush costs a lot more money. So we try to keep it a little bit more cost effective by just doing an exchange, is what they call it.
So in other words, you hook that up to the cooling system, and you run it through there, and the machine tells you exactly what shape the antifreeze is in. Is that correct?
No, the machine doesn't tell us anything. It just evacuates. So the first thing we do is pull the radiator cap off, use our test strip, get a reading out of it, and then we'll get our two indications, whether it needs to be charged, whether the glycol is good or the acidity is bad, and then we make the assessment. If it's really in poor shape, we would recommend a flush where we're actually running the vehicle and we're exchanging all the coolant out, flushing it with water, and then refilling it with new coolant. If it's not that bad, then we'll just do what they call an exchange. We'll get it up to operating temp, make sure the thermostat's open, and then we'll just pull all the coolant out, and then we exchange it with new coolant, so we don't do the water flush on it. So we have two different options. Two different options depending on what we see when we initially look at it. And like I said, it's no cost for us to just do the test strip on it to determine what direction we need to go.
Yeah, I've called you before on certain things with my 2015 Chevy Traverse.
Oh, that's right. And, yeah, you're not familiar.
You always give me good information on that thing. One thing I did find out, though, that the antifreeze is good for, they said, 50 to 60,000 miles. Is that correct?
Yeah, 5 years. It should be Dex Cool. So it's, that sounds about right.
That's Dex Cool?
Yeah, all the GM products will use what they call Dex Cool, which is it's an organic acid technology. So it's about twice as good as the glycol. The glycol green is 2 years. So you typically get about 5 years or 50,000, depending on how many miles you drive every year, 50 to 60,000. So that's right in the ballpark. Again, with coolant, it depends on where the vehicle's at, how hot it gets, how your driving habits, all that stuff. So it's just good to test it at least once a year, if not at least twice a year. And that way you're staying on top of it. Because the manufacturer recommendation is just based on a nation average. And there's so many different climates and different driving patterns and all that stuff around. So it's just good to get a test on it. And if it doesn't cost you nothing, then at least that way you're apprised. Like I said, and you're starting to degrade. So at 3 years, the coolant is starting to break down. And it starts happening pretty quickly. So it's not at 5 years that's time to flush it. It might be time at 4 years. It might be time at 6 years. You just got to stay on top of the testing.
Oh, I see. Then the other thing was the brake fluid.
Yep.
Now, how do you do that?
So the brake fluid is measured in copper content, also moisture content. Brake fluid is it absorbs moisture. So if you leave the cap off, or you have a brake fluid bottle, leave the cap off, that brake fluid will absorb water overnight and contaminate it. It's very, very absorbent. So the two things we want to test with brake fluid is how much moisture is in it. So the exact same way with a refractor meter, we want to check the gravity and see how much moisture is in it, and then the copper content. Now, what we typically do is just measure the copper content and then do a visual inspection. If the fluid is starting to turn kind of greenish, we know that we have a lot of moisture in it and it's time to flush it. Also, the copper in there is breaking down from the brake lines. That's where that copper comes from. All the brake lines, the hard brake lines in the vehicle, are all lined with copper. So as that fluid starts getting acidic, it starts eroding the insides of those brake lines, and that copper gets suspended in the fluid. And once it reaches a certain amount of parts per million of fluid suspended in that, it needs to be flushed. Because as the copper gets suspended, it actually makes the fluid more acidic. So it's kind of like a domino effect. Once you get a little bit, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the worst thing, and the you definitely don't want that to, you know, start eating through the brake lines. So it's really important to get that flushed out. So we just measure the copper content because that's what the most important safety part of that fluid is.
I see. Okay. Well, that's a lot of information. I appreciate that. Now, if I do I need to go through the computer to get an appointment for you to come in and check those two things?
Tell you what, just call me first thing Monday morning. I'll get you down right away, and we'll get a quick inspection for you, no cost, and we'll be able to lay out exactly what we need to do.
Well, that's very good. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
I sure appreciate that.
We'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Gearhead Radio.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, do you remember when we were kids? Well, actually, when I was a kid, you were a kid, quite a bit of difference. A little toy that was called, I think it was a Chinese finger cuff. It's kind of like
braided tube. Yeah.
I want to warn people on those scooters. Somebody has taken thousands of those things off. Just don't grab the, even if you twist it, don't grab that hose and try and just pull it off. It ain't going to come off. It's going to be like little finger cuffs.
Oh, that's a good example. It's exactly. The harder you pull, the tighter it gets.
So if you can get your fingers at the very end of that hose and pull it off that way, it'll help loosen it up and get it off. Otherwise, you'll end up breaking those things.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, and it really is, too. And you're just yanking on that thing.
It ain't coming off.
It ain't going to come off. That's funny.
Well, it will.
It just reminds me of giving it when you give it to your friends that's never done it before, and then the look of panic, right? Like about 30 seconds in, they're like, and then they look at you with that look of panic.
Well, you got to make sure they put both fingers in it from each hand.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I love it.
All right. I'm glad you enjoyed your guys' trip last week.
Thanks, Tom.
Or last week. So
it's good hearing from you.
All right. You take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
If you didn't catch the reference, we had a call about taking the windshield washer lines off the plastic barbs. The finger trap, right? The harder you pull, the tighter it locks onto your fingers. It's the same with those hoses with the barbs. That's how they're designed. They're designed to, as pressure pulls on it, to lock down, and that little barb just tightens even more. So sometimes a little twist, but yeah, all the way at the top, kind of pry back, maybe a little, take a pick. I mean, honestly, if you're dealing with the washer line and there's usually a little bit of slack there, take a nice sharp razor blade, cut it right at the end of the barb there, and then slice it sideways real gently and peel that hose off. And then you can just insert that new cut line back off when you're done cleaning it out. That's, I mean, the easiest way, as long as you have some slack in that line to be able to pull it a little bit tighter. But you're really only taking maybe an eighth of an inch off then into that thing, if that makes sense. I hope you followed that, but anyway, I gotta take a break. We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care, 1 mile east of El Camino on the corner of Traffic Way and Via, Atascadero.
News, I'm Daria Albinger. You may have been preparing for days. Now a huge winter storm system is rolling across the country. Fox Weather's Mike Seidel in Oklahoma.
It's going to be one for the record books, especially here in Tulsa. We're expecting to break the record. We're saying that's going to be likely. The all-time snowstorm record here is 14 inches. It's already snowing in Oklahoma City. And we've got warnings and watches up all the way from the southwest to New England. This will not end until Monday night in Boston. That's the latest on the snowfall there. It starts midday Sunday, Sunday morning in New York City, and late Saturday night in D.C. Just millions of Americans under this.
The U.S. Postal Service says the storm could affect mail delivery. An Illinois doctor pleads guilty in the December shootings of his ex-wife and her dentist husband in Ohio. America's listening to Fox News.
Mars Megastorage, your state-of-the-art storage solution on the Central Coast. Mars Megastorage can store your RV, boat, car, household, or commercial items in your own fully enclosed unit or covered storage space. Our on-site amenities include security cameras throughout, gate access from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. with your own personal gate code, 17-foot high steel walls for extra security, fully paved, and a wash rack with professional pressure washer, buckets, brushes, and soap, as well as a dump station, all while providing our guests the highest quality of customer service. We encourage you to come see all the guest features we have to offer. At Mars Megastorage, we strive to give you the best possible storage experience at the best possible price. Big or small, we store it all. Mars Megastorage, 101 Wilsona Road in Paso Robles. Call us at 467-3200 or visit marsmega.com.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Seniors helping seniors. We provide friendship, non-medical care, and a helping hand. We hire seniors to do this because, well, they don't use TikTok. They just understand each other better. We're fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Call me, Ron Torres, 805-369-2110, 369-2110, or go to seniorcareslo.com. That's seniorcareslo.com. Seniors helping seniors.
It's not too late. With the holiday rush behind you, it's time to shop for you. The Blender's winter sale is in full swing with up to 50% off. Stop by the Blender's and see what's waiting for you. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Happy New Year from the Blender's, 538 12th Street in downtown Paso Robles.
Touch of Paso, come on down for some home-cooked goodness, the best around. Breakfast and lunch in a little brick house, leaving well-fed, that's what we're about. Touch of Paso in Paso Robles, whether you're passing through or you're a local. Down on Pine Street, the place to go, like Grandma's cooking. Touch of Paso, come see what's cooking at Touch of Paso.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair, located at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. If you're interested in bringing your vehicle down, you can check us out online at shiftinggears805.com. That's shift with the letter N, gears, 805.com. And you can make your appointment there. You can also use the Google. You can Google us and you can find us there. You'll find a picture of Leanne and myself on the front page on the Google listing. There's a little button that says schedule now. Or you can just give us a call during the day and we can get you in right away. Get you look at, as always, no cost inspections. So we want to get you down, lift and look at the vehicle, get it up in the air, and we'll get you a whole rundown of what we see. And you get to make the decision moving forward. But this and every Saturday morning, if you're just tuned in for the first time, I'm here for the next half hour, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Saturday morning to help you out if you have questions or concerns about your vehicle. I'm here to help. 805-238-5775 is the number to call in. The text line are also open, so you can text 805-238-5775. If you have a question you want me to read out, I can read too, so that's a plus. It's always helpful. All right, where were we? We're talking a lot about coolant and brake fluid, which is always important. A couple things I want to get to before the end of the show. If you're looking for something to do today, it's a little drizzly out, but the Monster Truck Show is today at the Grandstand Arena. There wasn't a lot of publicity about it, if you're listening to the radio a little bit, but the 2X Monster Truck Show, that is today. I wonder if it's sold out. I bet it is. It's usually sold out every time they come in. That should be a good time if you're looking for something to do. You just got to look up online, Monster Truck Show in Paso. 2X is the name of it. I have no idea how much it costs, but it'd be something fun to do. Probably sold out, though. Other than that, I don't have any other events to go over. So if you have something coming up here in the near future, feel free to call in, give a shout out. Getting into February, events are going to start rolling out. Car shows are going to start rolling out again. So that's exciting times as we move forward. Also, I have some exciting things the shop's going to be doing this year. I'll roll those out as we go. But the first one is a rewards program. We are actively in the process of giving back as far as a rewards program. So if you come to the shop, we're going to make sure that every dollar you spend, you get some of that back to then use at a later date to keep your vehicle maintenance. So as the details roll out with that, we'll let you know. But if you come in, you will be getting emails or mailed rewards program of what exactly that is. So we want to make sure that if you're spending money with us, we can help you give back to your own vehicle to keep it on the road. It's important. All right, we have a bunch of recalls going on. What to get into first? The one thing I'd like to bring up is a little bit of insider information. So Harbor Freight is always, you know, on everyone's radar. But you're kind of concerned about, is the tools really worth it? Sometimes Snap-on, Matco, Mac, I mean, that's the industry's professional stuff, right? There's tools that we need that are better and some tools we can get away with. So I want to give you a little insider information on some of the tools that we use that I could definitely say go above and beyond if you're DIY or a small home garage, because these are some of the stuff that we use. So one of them is the Braun series lights. There's some lights there at Home Depot. Solid. We use their lights all the time. One of the big ones is the 8,000 lumen motion sensor shop light. Screws right into a light socket, and then it's a motion sensor light. So you don't have to worry about turning the lights on or off. As you walk through the shop, they'll turn on, or your garage or whatever you're using. Very nice upgrade. Lighting is super important. I'm a very big proponent on lighting. Having nice flashlights, headlamps, good overhead lights, you got to see. Shop's got to stay clean, and we got to see. That's very important to me. Another one we use a lot is the magnetic glove tissue dispenser. There really isn't much debate there. It doesn't really need to do much. It just needs to have a good magnet stick on the side of the toolbox and be the same size as a box of gloves. That way we can have gloves. So, got to protect your hands. You have PPE. You only get two eyes, you know, and you don't want to keep your hands clean, you know. For one, it's like I don't need them have dirty hands, get in your car and put grease everywhere. So wear gloves. I buy a lot of gloves. And so these little glove holders are a must. Very nice. The other one is the Daytona, the floor jacks. If you're in a need for a floor jack, I have three of these Daytona floor jacks. They are very nice. They've done very well for us. They're very not cheap, but they're cost effective, and we use them daily for years, and it's a great tool. The low profile 3-ton Daytona jack. That's the one. It's solid. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Oh, I just turned your handheld Sony back on to see what's going on because you didn't answer. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, I got a little situation. And you brought it up a while back. It's the guy reminded me when you talked about antifreeze. Well, I have a Ranger. It only had 65,000 miles on it. And about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, the light kept going on and off, you know, like just as the red light. So I took it to the place that's called to have a better idea. You know who that is?
One more time, I didn't hear that.
They used to have a slogan that they had a better idea.
Oh, yeah.
Four. Anyway, I took it there. So anyway, they charged me like $1,000. They said it was an oil sensor, this and that. And so, and anyway, so I took it back home, and then it kind of did a little burning. So I loaded it up on the truck and on the trailer and hauled it up there. I don't live in Pasco. I live outside of Tascadero. So anyway, so last year it was due for smog, and I went ahead and changed antifreeze on it, but it never cleared up, and I put new plugs in it, which was a bad thing to do because I live on the sticks. I had a heck of a time, and changed the oil, you know. So I was driving to town. Anyway, the darn thing blew up.
Oh, no.
So I ended up taking it to the place that had a better idea, and they didn't really want to do it. I took it to a guy here in Atascadero because I worked in Atascadero. I always feel, you know, support them. Right now, since I'm talking to you, I rather would have took it to you, honestly. So what happened was is that I talked to a friend, and one of the best engines you get is like $3,500, right? And you get like 3 years, you know, $36,000, the whole works. Well, anyway, I went to him. And he go, and I said, and I explained to him, honestly, I'm telling you, you know. And so he goes, oh, he has a friend, you know, he does engines and stuff. Well, years ago, about 40 years ago, there was a place called Pacific Machine down in San Luis, and I had a half-ton Ford, and anyway, I got a 302 rebuilt with a nice, you know, three-quarter cam and all that. You know, so I thought I was getting something like that, you know. So anyway, I mean, I could have bought the same engine for like $2,500 at Napa. So anyway, he had it redone, and I drove 1,000 miles, the darn thing blew up again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So what I'm getting at is that, you know, and he charged me the price, full price for that, and it's only like 12 months, you know, 12,000 miles, and it's only had 65,000 miles on it. It's a 201 Ranger, you know. So anyway, so I took it back, and I think he got some hits for it, I don't know. And he said he'd do the injectors on it. Well, on the injector part now, what happens is when you first turn it, it starts right up. Then the rest of the tape, I had a long shut off for a period in town or so. I go 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, that's in seconds. Then it fires up, you know, and then sometimes I shut off real quickly, it comes right back. Well, anyway, when Biden, he's trying to tell me that, you know, some of the antifreeze maybe got into the catalytic converter. So what's your answer to that?
That's a possibility. I mean, there's some tests we can run to verify. I mean, the one thing is removing the exhaust and seeing if that issue goes away. Coolant is very, very, it does destroy catalytic converters. So if coolant did get an exhaust, it's very likely that the catalytic converter might be plugged up a little bit. So it's a possibility.
Can you clean them or?
No. Yeah, not when the coolant gets in there. It pretty much destroys them. I mean, a 2001 Ford Ranger, it's not that pricey to get a catalytic converter for them. That one you can basically just go get a weld-on cat. You know, any local exhaust shop, I'd be surprised if it was over $600 or $700 you have that cat replaced. It might even be half of that. I don't know. I don't do a lot of the exhaust work. But any any local muffler shop can get a catalytic converter and swap that out.
Yeah, I just don't think there's a muffler shop in the Tascadero anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, not uh-huh. Yeah, I think something unfortunate happened with Spencer's, but like Mom's Muffler or Rock Solid here in Paso. Great muffler shops we use all the time.
Okay, what was the name again of them?
Mom's Muffler.
Okay.
Or Rock Solid. Yeah, Rock Solid's on Spring Street.
Oh, okay. So I'll find you by cruise down the road.
What's that?
Okay.
Yeah.
We got cruise down Spring Street.
Look for that. He's got a little muffler man on the street. You can't miss it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sitting outside. It's a little windy. Mm-hmm. Okay. But anyway, you know, I'm really disappointed because, you know, I got a lot of money invested in it, and I feel like the guy done me wrong, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Well,
just keep pushing through. I mean, you got some good, you know, it's all not for nothing. So everything can be fixed with enough time or money.
Well, that's the problem. I already got so much in it, you know.
Yeah.
And, anyway, now, do you got another minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what causes the, I know I left the Enterprise in it too long because I was driving a little Toyota at the time, so I lost track, and, you know, that's why I only got 65,000 miles on it. And I know you're supposed to, you know, change it out every 3 years. Now, what causes it just breaks down and great, because it was a really light, heavy duty, you know, almost like milky stuff, you know, and like I said, I flushed it, you know.
Oh, in the coolant?
Yeah.
I got to jump on a break now, but I will get into that here right after the break.
Okay, I listen to it. Thanks, Jimmy.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Bye. We'll be right back.
As trends and technology has evolved over time, local radio has remained one of the most effective ways to reach people. 92% of Americans listen to local radio daily. Radio is a companion that reaches people at work, home, and while they're mobile. For advertisers, local radio is cost-effective and is one of the best ways to connect with customers in their local communities. It's simple. Radio is the right choice. KPRL, AM 1230, 99.3 FM.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Lindsay here from K. John's Jewelry Company. Today, we're inviting you into a new chapter of our story. After many years of carrying extraordinary designers, we feel it's time to create jewelry that reflects our vision. Designs made by us, for you. After decades of showcasing designers we admire, it's time for K. John's to create something deeply personal. Our own jewelry designs, crafted with the love and experience this community has given us. K. John's is embarking on a new chapter, one built on our own creativity and our own craftsmanship. After years of partnering with incredible designers, we're excited to introduce our very own K. John's designs in the coming year.
Burlogger Excavation has been serving the Central Coast for over 28 years, and they specialize in bulldozer work for ranch and rural landowners. Call Burlogger if you need roads graded, fire breaks, or have erosion issues.
Whether you need springtime disking, clearing, or general bulldozer work, they have the machines to tackle the job. Call or text 805-674-5141 or find them on the Creston Sawmill Burlogger Excavation Facebook page.
Back. This is Gearhead Radio on AM 1230 KPRL. I appreciate you being here. This is an every Saturday at 9 a.m. Be sure you put a calendar reminder so you don't miss the show. Every once in a while, you might miss it because I'm not here, but typically it's every Saturday morning. Anyway, talking about coolant services this morning, we'll get back into that. We had a call about the milkiness in the coolant and that kind of stuff. So most of what I talk about is a lot of maintenance. I don't really get into like the worst case scenarios. I don't like to anticipate that. We like to maintenance and stay in front of major problems that would cause you to break down. Great call earlier about tires going low. That's the exact principle of our vision of the shop, is to catch that stuff before you're on the side of the road with a flat tire. So yes, if your tire's getting low and you're having to put air into it, typically means you should have the tire replaced or patched. Same with coolant. If the coolant's low, you should not just keep topping it off. There's a leak, and the leak's going to get worse. Not only is the leak going to get worse, but what it's leaking on is going to get damaged as well. One of the things we get a lot with engine oil or transmission leaks, especially transmission fluid leaks, because that stuff has a lot of detergent, it eats up rubber. It's hard on rubber components. It makes them swell, breaks them down. So if you have topping engine oil off, there's a possibility the engine may be consuming the oil, which seems to be a new standard. I don't even want to get into that right now. But if you have an engine oil leak, and you're noticing drips on the ground, and you're just topping off as you go, you're doing a lot more harm than just to the driveway. It gets on suspension components, it wears them out, it breaks them down. Everything's held together with rubber mounts. The engine's got rubber mounts. The steering rack and pinion, it's held with rubber mounts. Control arms. There's a lot of rubber components under the vehicle that may be getting contaminated with that oil, and it's going to start breaking it down. And then cause premature failure of those components. So it's important to maintain it and not wait for the big problems. Now, what we're talking about with the coolant turning milky, you can do everything as perfectly, like to the day, a month before, you're on top of the maintenance. The cars were still going to fail. It's still an ICE engine. It's internal combustion engine, meaning that there's explosions going off in every cylinder at 3,000 revolutions per minute, right? It's a mechanical piece of machinery. So even if you do everything perfect, it's still going to break. And that goes back to like, well, then why do anything? I'll just wait for it to break. Like, whatever. We're not gonna talk about that. My point is, you can service everything, maintain everything as best you can. You still have a catastrophic failure. I don't like getting into the catastrophic stuff, but in this sense, let's talk about it. So coolant turning milky, couple different things that can happen here. You have a head gasket. So where the cylinder block is attached to the cylinder head, there's a gasket there. Now, gasket's going to do a few things. It's very, very important. It seals the combustion. So it's got a big job. It's got to make sure that that compression pushes down on the piston and not out through the gasket, right? It's got to seal that to make sure that all that energy is pushing down on the piston. And that's what they call a blown head gasket, because all that pressure eventually will blow out that gasket. Now, sometimes it doesn't do it for 400,000 miles. Sometimes it never does it. And sometimes it happens in 50 or 60,000 miles. That's just, it's machines. That's just what happens. They break. Might be no fault of you. It may be. Who knows? So if that gasket blows and allows that compression outside of that containment, what can happen is it can either... What's the best way to put this? The gasket can fail between an oil passage or a coolant passage. Now, in the cylinder block, we have oil that's on top in the head, and it needs to drain back to the bottom. So we have passages that allow that engine oil to drain from the top and the cylinder head down to the bottom. That gasket separates those. You also have coolant right next to that oil passage because we need to keep the engine cool. So the coolant circulates through the engine from the cylinder head down to the engine block. And that gasket also seals there. So it's sealing the compression, the oil, and the coolant. Now what happens is it typically will fail because the coolant chambers are very, very close because we want that coolant around that cylinder bore to keep that combustion event cool. That's what it's there to do. So that's typically the weak spot. That's typically where that gasket will fail or blow, and then it allows coolant into the cylinder. It also allows some of the compression back into the coolant. It goes back and forth. Just depending on what the difference is, right? If you shut the vehicle off, there's no more compression going on in that cylinder, but you still have coolant pressure because it's been pressurized because it got hot, so that coolant will start seeping into the coolant, into the cylinder. Next time you start it, maybe see some white smoke, might run a little rough, clear up, things like that. I'm not going to get too deep into that, but that's one of the most common problems. Now, another one, it could blow on the oil side. That's not as common because it's very far away, but it can fail, and what that will do will push the coolant into the oil. Now you're getting coolant and oil to mix. Now, a lot of the time, that's not necessarily what happens. What happens is that there gets so much coolant that puddles on the top of the cylinder, it starts seeping down through the cylinder rings because without the piston moving, the rings collapse a little bit, and it gets down past the rings and then drips down into the oil pan, and then you start seeing milky oil. That's a very old, I mean, it's not, it is old. The way the engines are designed now with the piston cylinder rings, that typically doesn't happen anymore. We don't really get a lot of that. So it used to be the old adage of like, oh, if you have a blown head gasket, just check the oil. If it's milky, you know that you have a blown head gasket. That doesn't really apply with vehicles now. It still happens. It still happens, but it's not as common. It's not a common practice we see anywhere. That's why we do a chemical test on the coolant to check the coolant for combustion gases. Or we'll pull the spark plug out and actually put a borescope, a camera down there, and see if we see any coolant dripping down into the cylinder. And I mean, that's the easiest way to check. So with that being said, the coolant maintenance was not the issue here with this truck. It more than likely just ended up getting a blown head gasket. And that can happen for a number of reasons. Maybe it was misassembled from the plant. I mean, anything can happen. Now, on the note of maintenance, one of the concerns I have too is being too reliant on the temperature gauge that's in the vehicle. Because the biggest thing that makes a head gasket fail is heat. As the engine gets hotter and hotter and hotter, those metals are different. And so the block and the cylinder head are two different compositions. They expand different rates. So if you get it too hot, the expansion is too great. That gasket can't make the difference. You got the compression going on, and that's what blows that gasket out because it creates just enough separation with that heat. It allows that pressure to push that gasket, and now that gasket's failed. So what I'm saying here is if the coolant is not clean and fresh, you could potentially have some sort of a blockage or something that's contaminating, not allowing the coolant to circulate as it should, like a failed water pump, something like that's not allowing the coolant to circulate. But if you're watching the temperature gauge, you're just looking at wherever the temperature gauge is, right? There isn't 15 or 20 or 30 temperature sensors all over the engine and then gives you a calculated average. There's just one sensor located at one point in the engine, and it's typically around the thermostat, and that's the temperature you're reading. Now, most vehicles now are putting them on the cylinder head, so then you're getting a cylinder head temp. And then they're also using two different ones, one for the computer and one for the gauge. So that way the computer knows what the temperature, and then you can actually see what the temperature gauge is. The computer-controlled temperature sensor, which is typically on the cylinder head, is way more accurate than the gauge that the manufacturers give you to read. And they do that on purpose. They want to see a lower coolant so that you feel better that the engine's not overheating. Meanwhile, the engine could be getting a little hotter. So, I'm probably leaving you on the cliffhanger there, but just some things to think about. Why it's important to get your vehicle looked at least once a year by a professional, because we're going to dive in and check that kind of stuff and make sure that you don't have any underlying issues that you need to be aware of. So, thanks for being here. It's always a great time. I look forward to seeing you next Saturday. We'll have Mallory and Leanne in the house, so mark it on your
Gearhead
calendar.
Gearhead Radio,
we'll see
with
you.
Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Pass the Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.